Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew with our four featured news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. A clay tablet in Turkey describes a period of conflict during the time of the Hittite Empire. A huge DNA study finally tells us where the people of India came from. A gigantic mass grave in Nuremberg, Germany, reveals the extent of mortality caused by the Black Death. And the oldest known bead in the Americas came to light in Wyoming. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in 2024 with our tour of megalithic sites in the Brittany region of France. We have only 3 spots remaining. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of March 10th through the 16th, 2024. Our first story this week comes from Turkey, where a 3,300-year-old clay tablet in near-perfect condition has been unearthed in Buklukale, a city about 60 miles from the capital of Ankara. It is covered in tiny cuneiform writing that describes the cataclysmic invasions of 4 Hittite Empire cities. They occurred during a civil war that took place around 1380 BC. As reported by ArchaeoNews, the small tablet was found by Kimiyoshi Matsumura, an archaeologist at the Japanese Institute of Anatolian Archaeology. The text is written in both Hittite and Hurrian, a language the Hittites used for religious ceremonies. Now extinct, Hurrian is unrelated to other Indo-European or Semitic languages and has long been poorly understood. According to Daniel Schwemmer, chair of ancient Near Eastern studies at the University of Würzburg in Germany, the tablet is an important addition to our knowledge of Hurrian language, religious traditions, and literature. Mark Whedon, an associate professor of ancient Middle Eastern languages at University College London, completed a translation of the text. According to him, the writing is likely royal diplomatic correspondence regarding a sacred ritual performed by the Hittite king. The first lines, written in Hittite, say that 4 cities, including the capital, Hattusa, are in disaster. The remaining text, in Hurrian, is a prayer for victory to Teseb, the storm god who ruled over both the Hittite and Hurrian pantheons. Matsumura said that the prayer praises the god and his divine ancestors and repeatedly mentions communication problems between gods and humans. It then lists several individuals who seem to have been enemy kings and concludes with a plea for divine advice. The Hittite Empire would eventually collapse during the Late Bronze Age due to civil war, climate change, and numerous invading forces. However, the invasion described on the tablet predates its fall by 200 years. It took place during the reign of Tutalia II, a time when the Hittites faced a coordinated invasion that left many of their cities temporarily in ruins. Next, we go to India, where the largest ever genomic study of its kind has revealed broad new insights into the country's evolutionary history. According to this study, most of the genetic variation within today's Indian population stems from a single major migration event from Africa around 50,000 years ago. As reported by Live Science, a team at the University of California, Berkeley sequenced more than 2,700 modern Indian genomes, including individuals from nearly every geographic region, speakers of every major language group, and all tribes and castes. The researchers pulled these samples from a previously compiled aging study, which contains nationally representative data from individuals 60 years of age or older. This study marks a significant step in genetic research. Despite comprising more than 1.4 billion people and 4,500 ethno-linguistic and religious groups, Indian populations have often been overlooked by geneticists. Previous genome studies have largely centered on people of European ancestry. Most Indians appear to come from three ancestral groups: ancient Iranian farmers, Eurasian steppe pastoralists, and South Asian hunter-gatherers. Researchers understood how the latter two groups came to India, but not how and when DNA from ancient Iranian farmers arrived there. The new study compared the DNA of modern Indians to that of Iranian-related individuals from the Neolithic to the Iron Age. It found that the ancient DNA originated from individuals from Sarrasam in the early Neolithic. Sarrasam was a highly successful, influential, and widely connected early city in today's Tajikistan, north of India, dated between 3900 and 2100 BC. Its people were one of many widespread Proto-Iranian groups. They also detected almost 90% of all known Neanderthal genes in humans outside Africa in the ancient genomes they studied. That's about 50% more than a similar study of Icelanders. Since no fossils of these ancient human relatives have been found in India, researchers can only speculate about how these genes got there and why they remained. The study prompts many questions. Did the range of Neanderthals and Denisovans extend to South Asia, or did modern humans encounter these peoples farther east in Eurasia and carry their genes to India? When did people first migrate to India from Africa? As part of the major migration out of the continent, or at earlier times along the southern coastal route? Study co-author Priya Muryani hopes that future studies in combination with archaeology, linguistics, and other fields will provide more insight. Nevertheless, the study reinforces the value of conducting genomic surveys with groups outside Europe. They not only give us a better understanding of their individual histories, but of human history as a whole. Our third story takes us to southern Germany, where archaeologists in Nuremberg have unearthed what may be the largest excavated mass grave in Europe. The remains came to light during an archaeological survey that preceded construction work in the city's center. As reported by Life Science, this site contains the skeletons of more than 1,000 adults, children, and babies. They were crammed into 8 pits, stacked atop each other in seated and lying positions. Due to the high density of the burials, archaeologists were forced to work from makeshift bridges suspended over the pits. The team from excavation company Intera Veritas, led by Julian Decker, initially used radiocarbon dating to place one section between AD 1450 and 1650. According to Melanie Langbein, a member of Nuremberg's Department for Heritage Conservation, the city experienced frequent outbreaks of the plague during that period, making it difficult to precisely date these remains. The team turned to items recovered from the site. Radiocarbon dating of pottery shards found in 2 of the pits coincided with plague outbreaks between 1622 and 1634. Additionally, a note found during the research dated to 1634 confirmed that a plague had killed some 15,000 inhabitants of Nuremberg that year. 2,000 of them were buried near St. Sebastian's Spital, the present-day site of the excavation. From these, the team concluded that the burial was evidence of the epidemic from 1632 to 1633, when Nuremberg was likely afflicted with the bubonic plague and weakened by the Thirty Years' War. Like many medieval sites, Nuremberg had a dedicated plague cemetery. As the death toll rose, however, authorities ordered that the bodies should be buried in mass graves outside the city's churchyards, without regard for Christian burial practices. As the team excavated the site, they found that some of the skeletons were stained green. This was likely caused by waste from later copper mills built nearby. The skeletons in another pit were shattered by a bomb known to have exploded close to the site during World War II in 1943. Overall, the team was encouraged by how well the remains were preserved. Further study of these bones will provide valuable information about society and the standard of living during the period, including the prevalence of various cancers, genetic mutations, and dental health. We end this week in Wyoming with the discovery of the oldest known bead in the Western Hemisphere. As published in Scientific Reports, University of Wyoming archaeology professor Todd Surovell and his team of collaborators from UW, the Office of the Wyoming State Archaeologist, the University of Manchester, Weber State University, and Chico State University discovered the artifact. The bead is about 7 millimeters long. It has polished ends, a red ochre exterior, and outer grooves made by humans using either stones or their teeth. It was likely used as a decorative item on clothing. The bead was found near a hearth area in the Laprell Mammoth site. This early Paleo-Indian hunting site near the North Platte River preserves the remains of a subadult Columbian mammoth, along with the camp occupied when the animal was butchered. The bead was about 36 feet from the animal remains. The nearly 13,000-year-old tubular bead dates from the prehistoric Clovis period. It was crafted of a hare bone, possibly from a jackrabbit or snowshoe hare. This was identified using zooarchaeology by mass spectrometry, or ZooMS, to extract collagen and test the bead's chemical makeup. Like most people, early Native Americans used beads as personal ornaments. They were important indicators of increasing complexity in culture and society during the Paleolithic. The new study provides the earliest evidence of the use of such beads in the Americas. According to Spencer Pelton, a Wyoming state archaeologist, beads commonly date from later time periods in North America. The Laprell discovery is the first from the Clovis period. Many examples of hare and rabbit bones show them being used for bead production in the Holocene archaeological records of Wyoming, Colorado, the Great Basin, and the Southwest. Archaeologists are confident this tradition extends back to the early Paleo-Indian period in the Rocky Mountain West. Tubular hair bone beads have also turned up in sites in Paleolithic Northeast Asia. While it is tempting to suggest that this craft came across the Bering Land Bridge with the first migrants to the Americas, more material evidence is needed to confirm this explanation. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.